Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we're going to be diving into a Supreme Court case. It's Michigan v. Long. And basically, we're going to be looking at this question. Can police search your car if they stop you, even if they don't have a warrant?
Yeah, that's really the central question that this case, Michigan v. Long, is dealing with. We're talking about the Fourth Amendment here, and when it comes to vehicle searches during an investigatory stop, it's really fascinating. You know, we have to think about the balance between keeping the police safe and also protecting our individual rights.
So to help us understand this better, can you kind of paint a picture of how this case even came about, like what was going on?
Sure. So imagine like a dark rural road in Michigan. It's late at night. Two deputies are out on patrol and they see this car. It's weaving all over the place, being driven erratically. And eventually it swerves and ends up in a ditch. So they approach the driver, a guy named David Long, and things just seem a little strange right from the start.
Strange in what way? Like what's giving them this feeling?
Well, Long is acting a little weird, you know, like he might be intoxicated or something. He's not really responding to the officer's questions right away when they ask him for his license and registration. And then as he starts walking back towards his car, the doors open and the officers notice something on the floorboard, a large hunting knife.
Okay, I can see how that would make anyone a little nervous.
Exactly. So concerned for their safety, the officers do a quick pat down of Long, but they don't find any other weapons on him. But while they're doing this, one of the deputies shines his flashlight into the car and sees something a little suspicious tucked under the armrest. He reaches in, lifts the armrest, and finds an open pouch, and guess what's in it?
I'm guessing something they weren't expecting to find.
You got it. Marijuana. And not just a small amount, either.
So, what happens next? I'm assuming they arrest him.
They do. Long is arrested for possession of marijuana, and the officers then go on to search the rest of the car. This is where it gets really wild. They end up finding 75 pounds of marijuana in the trunk.
75 pounds? That's a serious amount. But I bet the story doesn't end there. What happened next?
Well, this is where the legal battle really begins. Long's lawyers argued that all that marijuana shouldn't be allowed as evidence in court because they said the search of the car was totally illegal. They claimed the officers had violated Long's Fourth Amendment right, you know, the one that protects against unreasonable searches and seizures.
That makes sense. So how did this end up at the Supreme Court, and what did they think about all this?
Well, obviously, this case raised some significant questions about police powers and individual rights, so it eventually made its way to the highest court in the land. And ultimately, the Supreme Court decided to side with the police in this case. They largely upheld the search of the passenger compartment of Long's car. The majority opinion, written by Justice O'Connor, introduced this really important concept, the idea of a protective search.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. A protective search. What exactly does that mean?
Right. It's a crucial point in this whole case. So the court referenced this landmark case, Terry v. Ohio. You might have heard of it. It's the case that established the rules for what we call stop and frisk. And the basic idea is that the police, they have the right to do a limited search, like a pat down, if they reasonably believe that a suspect might be dangerous and might have access to a weapon.
So even though Long himself wasn't holding a weapon at that moment, the fact that there was a hunting knife in the car, combined with his behavior, was enough to justify the search of the car.
That's exactly how the majority of the justices saw it. They argued that this protective search exception allows officers to make sure they're safe, especially during encounters like traffic stops, which can be really unpredictable and potentially dangerous.
I see. So they're acknowledging that traffic stops can be especially risky for officers, right?
Right. They basically said that if they let Long back into his car where he could easily reach that hunting knife or maybe even other weapons, that's a risk they don't have to take. They ruled that it was a totally legal search. And that means the marijuana found under the armrest, well, that became admissible evidence that could be used against Long in court.
We're back and still unpacking this case of Michigan v. Long. And, you know, it really seems like this case has implications that go way beyond just this one traffic stop, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it raises some important questions about how we balance the need for public safety with protecting individual rights.
Well, absolutely. Michigan v. Long actually created something that legal experts call a bright line rule. Basically, what that means is if the police arrest you, they can search the passenger compartment of your car, even if the arrest has nothing to do with weapons or any suspicion of weapons.
So just to be clear, if you're pulled over for something like a broken taillight, but the officer thinks you seem dangerous for whatever reason, could they search your car, even though the initial reason for the stop, the taillight, have nothing to do with weapons.
That's right. The way the court saw it was that when an arrest is made, there's automatically a heightened risk to the officer, no matter what the arrest is for. They argued that being able to search the areas within easy reach of someone who's been arrested is just common sense, a way to ensure the officer's safety.
But wouldn't that give police officers an awful lot of power? I mean, couldn't this rule be abused? Couldn't it be used to justify searches that have nothing to do with safety?
Well, that's a very valid point, and it was something that Justice Brennan brought up in his dissenting opinion. He argued pretty strongly that this protective search exception, as it was being applied here, was going way too far. He was worried that it could be used as an excuse to search a car for other reasons, you know, reasons that have nothing to do with officer safety and end up violating someone's privacy.
I can see his point. I mean, you could argue that almost anything could be considered a potential weapon, right? If an officer was determined enough to find something, they probably could.
Exactly. That's where this whole idea of reasonable belief comes in. The court was very specific in saying that this rule only applies if the officer truly believes and has good reason to believe, based on facts and evidence, that the person they've stopped might be dangerous. It can't just be a random guess or a feeling they have. There has to be something concrete they can point to.
But reasonable belief, that seems pretty subjective, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how do we make sure this rule isn't being applied unfairly? Like, how do we know it's not being used to target specific individuals or certain communities?
That's a huge question. And it's a question that gets to the heart of a lot of the debate around law enforcement practices today. Like, who ultimately decides what reasonable belief actually means? And how can we be sure that personal biases, you know, whether they're conscious or unconscious, aren't influencing these decisions made by law enforcement?
It feels like we're talking about a very slippery slope.
Yeah. It is, and that's why Michigan v. Long is such a landmark case, you know? It forces us to think about these really tough questions. It makes us confront those inherent tensions that come with trying to strike a balance between keeping people safe and preserving individual liberties.
So has this decision actually changed the way police officers conduct searches? I mean, what's be the real-world impact?
Oh, absolutely. Michigan v. Long has become one of those fundamental cases that lower courts look to all the time when they're trying to figure out if a vehicle search was legal or not. It's been cited in a huge number of cases, everything from drug possession to DUI arrests, you name it. It's had a massive impact across the legal system.
So even though this particular case started with marijuana, the decision itself applies much more broadly. It's really about the power dynamics at play during any vehicle stop between the officer and the driver.
Exactly. And that's a big reason why this case continues to be so relevant. Even though it was decided decades ago, it still speaks to these really important debates about how much power the police should have, what our individual rights are, and how the courts should navigate all these complex issues.
This deep dive has really driven home the point that a single Supreme Court case can have such a lasting impact, not just on the legal system, but on society as a whole.
Without a doubt. And the debate about Michigan v. Long is definitely not over. There are legal scholars who argue that this bright line rule is actually a good thing. They say it gives the police clear guidance and leads to more consistent enforcement. But there are others who say that it goes too far and gives law enforcement too much power, and that ultimately it erodes our Fourth Amendment rights.
It sounds like another example of those competing interests we were talking about earlier, right?
Yeah.
We all want to keep our police officers safe, but we also don't want to give up our individual freedoms in the process.
That's the core of it. It's an ongoing conversation that continues to evolve as our society grapples with these big issues of policing, privacy, and what it really means to live in a free society.
It's definitely a lot to think about. Well, we've talked a lot about the legal aspects of this case, but let's shift gears a bit and think about what Michigan v. Long means for us as individuals.
Yeah.
Does it have a direct impact on our everyday lives?
It definitely does. And that's something we can unpack when we come back after a quick break. We'll dive into some of the practical implications of this case, the criticisms it's faced, and some of the arguments in its defense. Stay with us.
All right, we're back. And, you know, we've been going pretty deep on this Michigan v. Long case, and I gotta say, it really makes you think twice about what your rights are if you ever get pulled over, right? Like, what can the police actually do? So let's talk about that. Let's get practical here. What does this whole thing actually mean for us out there on the roads?
Well, it means that you don't have absolute protection against searches when you're in your car. The police can legally search your vehicle even if they don't have a warrant, and Michigan v. Long is the reason why.
That's a little unnerving to think about, but I guess what you're saying is that there are rules, right? It's not like the police can just search your car whenever they feel like it.
Right, exactly. There are rules, and court cases like Michigan v. Long are all about setting those boundaries and figuring out when a search is actually justified. Like, remember that reasonable belief standard we were talking about? It's not enough for an officer to just have a suspicion or a hunch. They have to have actual facts, observable evidence that makes them believe that you might be dangerous.
So if we find ourselves in that situation, what can we do? Like, what are some things we can do to protect our rights during a traffic stop?
Well, the most important thing is to stay calm. Be polite and cooperative, even if you're feeling stressed or anxious. Getting into an argument with the officer isn't going to help anything. And it's also super important to know your rights. You should understand what the police can and cannot legally do.
Knowledge is power, right? But what happens if you really feel like your rights have been violated during a traffic stop?
If that happens, the best thing you can do is try to document everything as carefully as possible. Get the officer's badge number if you can. Make a note of the time, the location. Were there any witnesses? Write it all down. And most importantly, if you really believe your rights were violated, talk to a lawyer. A lawyer can help you understand the legal complexities and figure out the best way to move forward.
I think what's become really clear from our deep dive today is that this whole issue of vehicle searches, and Michigan v. Long in particular, has just sparked this huge conversation about where the line is between keeping the public safe and protecting individual liberties. It's like we're trying to find that sweet spot.
That's it, exactly. And it's an important conversation to keep having. As a society, we need to be talking about this and making sure our laws protect both law enforcement officers and the fundamental rights of everyone. It's a delicate balance.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
Well, this deep dive has been really eye-opening. A lot to think about for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I hope it encourages everyone listening to stay informed and stay engaged in these important conversations about things like police powers and constitutional rights. It matters.
Absolutely. A huge thanks to you for joining us today on The Deep Dive. We hope you found our exploration of Michigan v. Long insightful. It's certainly a case that continues to resonate today. And remember, as always, stay curious, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep.